So I'd like to Scott Daniels, who's the SHIP and FLEX coordinator in at the Hawaii Office of Primary Care and Rural Health. And Scott is indicating. Scott, can you try saying hello? Yep, go ahead.
Oh, you can hear me. Okay.
Yeah.
I was muted. Okay. I was asked to just sort of talk about our network, our consortium. We're not a formal network. We don't have anything. We don't have a separate entity. It's basically something in which we got the 9 critical access hospitals. We have 10 SHIP hospitals. So I know that most of you have many more SHIP hospitals than we do, but we have 10 SHIP hospitals and 9 of them are critical access hospitals. Back when they sort of started, when they changed what we could spend the funding on and put a little bit more restrictions on how we could do the funding, I approached the critical access hospitals and basically asked them, would they be willing to work together and use funds basically to help fund the quarterly meeting in which we review measures and talk about and do training on quality improvement in the hospitals, and there was a little griping, but I did manage to get them to all agree to coordinate those funds to create training for them. So we meet quarterly. One of the nice things about having this quarterly meeting is it's a place where we have the 9 critical hospitals together where we can actually discuss the issues that each of the hospitals have and find out what are the issues that are in common, so that way we can better coordinate the training so everyone gets the training that they need. The other nice thing about having them all there is it makes it real easy to start inviting other partners to provide training and information to the hospitals, because they're there as a group and they can hit them all at once. So this has been useful in getting our critical access hospitals to participate in Partnership for Patients. We got all 9 critical access hospitals to participate in Partnership for Patients. And we, at our quarterly meetings, we have someone from the Partnership for Patients person at the meeting that basically provides any updates that happen in between their Partnership for Patient meetings, and so that and also other people can hear, because not everyone in that room necessarily goes to the Partnership for Patient meetings. They will. So this provides an opportunity basically for everyone to know what's going on there. The other thing that's useful is that we really heavily rely on our QIO to provide training and updates also to the critical access hospitals within the network. And that's been really useful, because it a lot of times I'm fielding questions from hospitals individually, and then so I sort of know sort of what the issue is with a lot of the hospitals, but and I'm not saying that the hospitals operate in isolation, but they don't always talk to one another and don't always talk about what their problems are with CART or whatever. But because I hear these issues, it makes it easy for me to sort of accumulate them and go to the QIO and go, listen, we're having a problem with understanding how to do this thing with CART. Can you provide some education on CART so that way we make sure that we're entering the data that we need to enter for quality measures? One of the things that's coming up is that we saw the latest MBQIP outpatient reports, and we noticed a lot of NAs on our report, and that means that they aren't reporting. Now, I know that the hospitals that are getting the NAs probably didn't have any cases, but that means that they're probably not putting in the population and sampling report at the beginning of the month or the beginning of the quarter. So I'm working with the QIO currently so that our next meeting we go over that population sampling. So it allows us to basically coordinate sort of the training that needs to happen there. The other nice thing that's happened and I think has been really useful with these meetings and with this network is that it's an opportunity for the hospitals to basically teach back to the hospitals things that they've implemented and worked. One of the things that I used to run up against is that we'd have training sessions and the reaction was sort of, well, what do you know? You don't run a hospital. And so to try and overcome that, we started experimenting with sort of, okay, we'll look through the record, see who's done well in a certain area, ask them what they implemented, note that they've done well, ask them, did you do anything different to do this performance? They go, oh, yeah, we implemented this, this, and this. But then we ask them, well, can you do a short presentation on what you implemented and what were the steps involved, what were some of the difficulties, and how you've managed to keep it going. And I think that has really been helpful in driving the hospitals to listen to training that happens and to put up some, in this case, healthy competition. We don't by agreement from the hospitals when we report their quality measures, we don't blind the scores. They all want to know who they are and how they fall. And so, and there's a few hospitals out there that just want to be the best. And if they aren't the best, then they want to learn on what they can do to improve. And so that, in our case, that's been useful. I mean, like I said, it's been friendly competition. No one's out there trying to denigrate anyone, and they're all trying to lift each other up. So that's been useful. The other thing that coordinating the funds allowed us to do is concentrate more on leadership training. And I think that's also between the hospitals training each other on when they perform well and bringing in leadership as sort of a fundamental that needs to happen also. I think those are two of the bigger things that have happened out of this consortium that have helped bring about improvement for the hospital. I will say that it wasn't easy and it took time. It seemed like it took several years of me beating my head against a wall before I started seeing steady trend lines and going the way that I wanted them to go. But I'm actually I'm comfortable with what we've been doing now. I'm comfortable with the trend lines moving in the way that I want to see them move. And that's sort of quickly this Hawaii story.
Thank you, Scott. Mm-hmm. Thing maybe to clarify for others, you mentioned the sharing the data and that helps them with hearing from those that they can see are performing in that, or is that the QIO?
I'm sorry, what was that?
In terms of tracking the data that uh-huh. is shared with the members, are you uh-huh. doing that or is that the QIO?
I'm doing that. We get the MBQIP data, we put it into a report and show it at the quarterly meeting. I also give them each of the hospitals their own MBQIP data along with the state averages, but they don't see how they compare to everyone else until we get into the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions for Scott? You can put it in the chat box. Okay, thank you, Scott.
Okay.
We wanted to highlight some of the SHIP resources. First, the technical assistance resources that are on the center website, so ruralcenter.org/SHIP. And these are under the coordinator technical assistance on the right-hand bar. We will always have the current grant guidance resource with so fiscal year 16, the funding opportunity announcements and spreadsheets, TESPA applications, and the recorded webinar from last fall are up there. And then underneath the SHIP coordinator guide, there's tips for program administration and frequently asked questions and best practices. And we know there's been a number of new staff within state offices working on SHIP. So we wanted to make sure you were aware of these resources, and these do get updated. This is where we'll post today's webinar and the slides. Also, there are SHIP investment resources, and this is a page we encourage you to share with the hospitals when you are promoting the opportunity and gathering applications of what activities they will be doing within the menu set. And there are specific links here under accountable care organizations and shared savings, and then also value-based purchasing and the payment bundling or prospective payment system resources. And these will lead to a guide or a webinar, but gives you an idea of the type of topic, and then perhaps follow-up training or software that could that hospital could utilize with their SHIP funds. And then the subcontracting resource, this is a subcontract management guide that was created within the FLEX program through TASC for both FLEX programs, state offices of rural health within your state office grants or SHIP grants. We are finding there are many questions about how to best manage your subcontracts, whether it's be for quality or training in general for SHIP network activities, and kind of that life cycle of how to plan the project and then execute that plan in terms of a scope of work with a subcontractor, and what kinds of accountability steps can you put in there. And there's a number of templates in here as well. And Rebecca Bradley Dowdy created this for us with our team, and she was formerly with the Louisiana Hospital Association, so has some rural perspective. This morning we sent out a page of ideas and resources, and I see there's a question that came in from somebody about some of the ideas and examples for use of the supplemental grant funds. And those who are coordinating SHIP in their state know they receive $9,867 as a supplement, and you need to do an activity that benefits all your SHIP hospitals. It can't go to just one hospital. And so talking with Bridget Ware and Jean Myers, the other project officer for SHIP, they were wanted to provide some guidance for that, realizing that many of you may have done your awards already and you couldn't split that among all of your hospitals in the state. So we put together that list this morning, and we can be sure to send that out with the notes and slides from today's call, as well as post that on the website. But there are links that provide either a link to a federal organization or federally funded resources within a specific area. For instance, one training suggestion was hierarchical condition coding, or coding for value. We're hearing that this is very important for providers who traditionally have not done this, as they call it, HCC coding, because they're in cost-based reimbursement. This tended to be more of a required by PPS, but now preparing in value-based models, you're essentially not noting that some of your patients have diabetes or congestive heart failures, and so you need to make sure you're doing that coding, even if they're coming in for knee pain. And so we've listed, for instance, Centers for Medicare, Medicaid, the value-based payment modifier, that specific page, and Healthcare Financial Management Association. So those are two areas it's not giving you a specific trainer, but we'd recommend going through Healthcare Financial Management Association to find trainers who could provide that coding training, and then you provide, regional training in your state in three areas, or a series of webinars for all the hospitals. So the funding could go towards that. Continued healthcare information technology training, especially moving towards value and ACOs, things like quality reporting, pulling data, and using patient portals. And there are some links there as well, on data analytics training. And those are also topics that perhaps your state quality improvement organization, or if you still have a regional extension center for health information technology that's active, many of those have moved to providing technical assistance, although that they have to charge a fee, but they may be available to do training for your hospitals. Value-based payment education, especially in leadership, as Scott talked about, that is so important. And resources there could be from your state medical society, hospital association, and again, QIOs. Lean projects related to the SHIP menu categories, helping hospitals learn basics of lean, or actually having interactive regional workshops where they are learning value stream mapping and how to apply the lean culture. And we did do a series of lean training for SHIP eligible hospitals the past couple of years, and so we've put up some of the webinars and materials from the training that was just held between February and June of this year. So it gives you an example of some projects and topics for lean. And then price transparency training, which was a requirement of the ACA, and helping providers understand the methodology to establish a defensible pricing strategy. It's kind of a new, unique topic. And then finally, provider-based clinical quality measures education. And this was an example that came in from Michigan, actually from the State Office of Rural Health, that they are providing their provider-based rural health clinics with assistance in implementing National Quality Forum endorsed measure sets and adopting those measures and how to track and report quality measures within the rural health clinic setting to prepare them for ACOs. So those are some different ideas within the Small Rural Hospital Improvement Program State Supplement. And we'd welcome if anyone has wants to share a suggestion of what they're doing with the funds, if it's a special training offered to all the hospitals or events. You could just put that in the chat box. Well, finally, just to wrap up here, we will be holding the next SHIP webinar in early December after the NCC comes out. And I see there is a question about the date for that, and Bridget's putting it in. Yep, it's December 2nd that next year's SHIP will be out. And the there will be at least a 60-day window for the NCC return. And so we will have a webinar probably that week following the release of the NCC on December 2nd. It will be due February 10th, 2017. So we'll hold a soon after that release, and Bridget Ware will go through the requirements within the NCC, and we'll provide the some grant writing resources, best practices again. And we see I have a question about the purchasing menu set for SHIP. And Bridget is responding to that. Now, the menu sets will be similar. They are looking at making sure there's examples of activities that the hospitals can be checked off. So it's, Bridget is saying it will be somewhat tweaked, but include some of the resources discussed today as well as some other refinement. So not a major change in the menu site, but some tweaking of activities. We also are looking at updating the Excel spreadsheet that you will send back in with the application listing the hospital and activity that we will be trying to gather from you all whether you're doing consortium so we can better track that and be reporting network activity and if that's shifting by SHIP spending categories or different regions. So we'll also be adding that as well. And then there's a question about changes to the criteria for participation by the hospitals. And Bridget is responding to that. No changes in the criteria for participation. So there wouldn't be any change in your list unless you've had closures or if you've had additional hospitals. And we have another question about reporting HCAHPS. To participate, yes, the hospitals will need to continue to report HCAHPS to participate in SHIP. And we have another question coming in. A question about the supplemental funds, and if anyone's willing to share how they're using that, go ahead and put that in the chat box, and then we'll capture that in the notes and send that out. And and we'll be sure to send out the list of resources for everyone. Okay, and we'll let last questions coming in. We just have a couple polling questions here for feedback on the webinar today, if it increased your awareness of SHIP technical assistance tools and resources and overall satisfaction with the webinar. So we appreciate your responses to those questions, and we'll leave that open a bit. And we will be sending out the notes and slides, and also we'll send a save the date appointment reminder for the December NCC webinar soon. We're just getting that date set. And thank you, Scott, for sharing your best practice today, and thank you all for joining today's webinar and call. We apologize for the technical snafu at the beginning, but I'm glad we had questions coming in through the chat box today. Appreciate your feedback on the polling. Have a great day, and feel free to reach out to us at any time at shipta@ruralcenter.org, and their staff, myself, Sally Buck, or Bethany Adams and Becky Gord, will respond to your questions either by email or by phone. Please feel free to reach out to us if you have questions or if your hospitals do. Thank you, and have a great day.